we are too proud to serve, we kick ourselves out of the line of success in the light of God. God has no business with a proud man. God has no business with a man who is not ready to serve. The only way God will lift you is because he wants to use you. He wants you to serve his purpose. Sometimes he will raise an unbeliever to serve his purpose. Dairos, he raised him so that he will, Cyrus, he raised people to serve his purpose. Sometimes he raises a donkey. All God looks out for in our lives is the spirit of servanthood, the spirit of service, the spirit of availability. Can this person be found? Can I find someone? Can I find someone to kill this Goliath? Can I find someone to open this Red Sea? Can I find someone to shut the mouth of these lions? Can I find someone to lead 400 frustrated people, take them to the cave of Adullam, and bring out of them 300 mighty men? Can I find a Samson? God is always looking for, he's not looking for the boy in you. He's not looking for the girl in you. He's looking for the servant in you. Through that channel, the greatness of God in your destiny explodes. If we have to become great in God's way and in God's sight, we must imbibe in our spirit the spirit of service. Every great son will be a great servant. Show me a great man in the Bible, and I will show you a man who is a great servant. So, having in your mind that all that you will be, and all that you will have, and all that you will live for, you are living for as a servant of God. At the end of the day, it's a good and faithful servant, not son. As for the son and the daughtership, that position has been given to you. You didn't fight for it. You didn't do anything for it. God made us his sons and his daughters the day we believed in him. But to become a servant, you must make yourself a servant. We must make ourselves servants. There is no way we could have manufactured our position as sons and daughters. That one day the sons of Zebedee went to Jesus and their mother was bargaining for them. And God, Jesus said, I don't have anything to do. If they can drink from the cup I'm drinking from. The place of service is a place of choice. It's a deliberate choice that I want to serve the Lord. I want to live my life for the Lord. I want to serve the agenda of the kingdom. And may that be your cry this evening. I want to run you through a few characteristics of servants of God. When you say you are a servant of God, when a man says that he's a servant of God, what are we looking at? But before then, I want to read Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 27 in the BBE. Matthew 20, 25 to 27. But Jesus said to them, you see that the rulers of the Gentiles are lords over them. It's not like that in the kingdom. It's not like that. The Gentiles, their rulers are lords over them. And their great ones have authority over them. Let it not be so amongst you. But if anyone has a desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your servant. And this is the part of the gospel that many of us don't like. I was struggling to come and preach it because it's like, I was telling my wife that this evening that when I'm preparing to come and teach or preach in church, here, I struggle to get a nice message. But maybe outside I will get some. But anytime I'm preparing, it's like my spirit just goes towards a certain, and that is it. That is the way to become a great Christian, the way to become a great believer is a hard way. And such messages do not really excite. It just puts you in a place where you will have to yield yourself for the use of the Lord. No matter who you are. He said, let it not be so among you, but if anyone has a desire, and all of us have a desire to be great. That one, don't hide it. Olivia, yeah, I want to be great. So if you have that desire to become great, he said, let him be your servant. This is the same man. Jesus made us princes and royalty. He made us. And this is him telling you that if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to become a servant. You have to have a serving mind, a serving heart, a serving destiny. Your life must be serving. Then he said in the verse 27, he said, and whoever has a desire to be first among you, let him take the lowest place. Listen to me. There are many people in church, they feel they are bigger than what they are doing. There are people in the kingdom, they think that they should be doing something bigger than what they are doing. Such a person, Jesus is talking to the person. Whoever has a desire to be first among you, let him take the lowest place. Yes, this message is anti many things, but that is the teachings of Jesus. In your Bible, it's red color. These are the pure words of Christ. And when you see the pure words of Christ, you should never interchange it with the words of any powerful preacher, because it will not stand the test of time. The words of Christ are our foundation. He said, if you want to be the greatest, become a servant. If you want to be first, go to the lowest. Now, there are many kinds of servants. And for a servant of God, a child of God who calls himself a servant of God, there are certain characteristics that should be seen or that should be expected from this servant. And that's what I'm going to do in a short while, and then we are done. Hallelujah. What are the characters? Not just the characteristics. I'm talking about the characters, the marks. What will you see in the DNA of a servant of God? What will you see in the DNA of a servant of God? Number one. So, servants of God is not only for prophet 111 or apostle 111 or pastor 111 or reverend. No, no, no. A servant of God, every child of God is a servant of God. Every child of God is a servant of God. And you must make yourself a servant of God. Number one, a servant of God is humble. A servant of God is humble. Is humble. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, 3 to 8. Give me the BB soft version. Doing nothing through envy or through pride, but with low thoughts of self, let everyone take, you see, with low thoughts. It is so mysterious. How do you combine this with having a good image of yourself? Because he's saying that you should have low thought of yourself. We must not be high-minded. (Laughs) If we study the Bible very well and we live by that, a lot of things about Christianity in the country will change. But I think that we have left certain significant parts of scripture. He said, you should be low of thought. You should not see yourself. That is not the way of Christ. You should not see yourself. And say, we must not see ourselves. There are many, many times I met a man, I was trying to win his soul for Christ. He's a big man, so he invited me to his office and we were talking. And I asked him, why doesn't he go to church? Hasn't he gone to church before? He said, oh, obviously, you know, you're quite sorry. But the Christians we are having today, they are full of themselves. And I said, how can he be outside the church and be judging the church? He said, that is how we see the church. There are so many of us, we have not allowed Christ to pass through us. So let me continue. Say, low thought of self, let everyone take others to be better than himself. I said, the servant of God is humble. He said, let everyone take others to be better than himself. Hey, verse 4. Not looking everyone to his private good, but keeping in mind the things of others. That means think about my happiness. Think about my comfort. Think about my joy. Think about my progress. Because, you see, every kingdom works with synergy, synergic energy, synergic power, synergic force. So if you think good for me and I think good for you, what your strength cannot do, my strength by the grace of God will do for you. There must be synergic flow. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. To whom though himself in the form of God, it did not seem that to take for oneself was to be like God. Verse 7. He said, but he made himself as nothing. He made himself as nothing. Yeah, church. You have to make yourself as nothing. Unyobia. That's the meaning. You have to make yourself as nothing. You must not put value on yourself. That is how it is put in it. Pastor, I mean, the value on your life is the value of the blood of Jesus. You did not put it on yourself. Because God knows that if we have to put value on ourselves, we are going to put academic laurels on ourselves. We are going to put our beauty on ourselves. We are going to put our handsomeness on ourselves. We are going to put our profession on ourselves. Don't you know I am a professor? Don't you know I am a doctor? Don't you know where I'm coming from? Don't you know I am an Ewe? Don't you know I'm an Ashanti? We will put all those things on ourselves. So he said, don't make yourself anything. Don't make yourself something. Make yourself nothing. And that was what Jesus did. He made himself nothing. No servant will ever be great if he doesn't make himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant. I'm not the one telling you. I'm Paul. Paul, the one who said, I speak in tongues than all of you. The one with great, he said, Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant. He became a servant and being made like men. God made himself like a mortal. What a humility. What a humility. God is not prone to any mortal adversity. God doesn't fall sick. God doesn't get hungry. God does not live in economy. That was how Christ was. Now, Christ condescended and became like man. living, coming from Nazareth, poor place. What a humility. Born in a manger with no golden spoon in his mouth. Where heaven, the world is made of gold. He's worshipped throughout the day for eternity. And this is him coming in. What type of humility is it? If Christ did it, why do you think that he would tell you to put value on yourself? There are so many teachings that have damaged the Christian, that has damaged the church, that has caused so many divisions in the church. So somebody is in the department, somebody is in the church, a Christian is somewhere, he thinks he's better than another Christian. Paul is saying that, see yourself, see others better than you. That is the scripture. And make yourself nothing. A servant of God is humble. A servant of God is humble. Verse 8. It said, and being seen in form as a man, he took the lowest place. The lowest place. Jesus did not take the highest place. He took the lowest place because he has told us already that if you want to be first, take the lowest place. Mark 20:27. We are not going there again. But he said, when he has said it, now he practicalized it. He took the lowest place and let himself be put to death, even the death of the cross, the death for criminals. The holier, the holy, 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 the most holy being in the universe was killed or died the death of criminals. Because he needed to accomplish an assignment for the pleasure of the Father. As a servant of God, you have to be humble. It's a requirement. It's a characteristic. It's a character. It's a mark. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. One of the marks of Christ in the servant of God is humility. Am I teaching you something tonight? Before the death of Christ, before he left them, he taught them a lesson. He made them sit down. The Bible says he made them sit down. The 12 sat down. And whilst they were seated, he took off his garment. Jesus took off his garment. A garment talks about glory. A garment talks about status. So when you go to the military, though they are all in military garment, each of them have different badges. So a garment will talk about your position, authority, your glory, your honor. Jesus took off the garment. He said, make yourself nothing. Make yourself nothing. Sometimes your enemy is you because you have made yourself something. And therefore you are impeding the flow of the glory of God in your life. When we make ourselves something, God does not know what something to make you again. Like Lucifer, he made himself. He wanted to ascend the throne. He also wanted to be like God. And the only way God could deal with, God will respond to such a move, is to demote you. So the Bible said, God gives grace to the humble, but he does what? He resisted the pride. There is a lot of resisting in the church. And it's not from the devil, it's from God. God is the one fighting your progress. Who will help you? Prayer will not help you in this instance. Because if God is resisting your progress because you want to take the first, and God said take the lowest point, or you are full of pride, God is the one fighting your promotion. And therefore, your binding of the enemy is just an exercise in futility. It's a useless venture. So sometimes the Bible said we pray amiss. Your prayer became useless on the platform of pride. Humility. Humility. He said he took the lowest place and let himself to be put to death. Even. The Bible uses even because that death is for criminals. And Jesus was not a criminal. So Jesus sat down, took off the garment, pulled the bowl, the towel, tied his loin, and wanted to wash their, he started washing their feet. You know the feet I'm talking about? It's not a feet that has been in shoes like this. It's not a feet that has been walking on Sakumono Road, tarred roads. These are feet of men, hairy men. Jewish men are known to be very hairy. Hairy men, dirty feet. They used to walk miles. And this is Jesus sitting down washing 12 pairs of feet of fishermen, former fishermen, carpenters. You can imagine the feet. It's not easy. And that's why those days, when visitors came home, it was they hired a particular servant. Not even all the servants. There is a particular servant, the low-cost servant, to wash the feet of people who came home. And Jesus sat down and washed their feet. And sometimes in the midst of serving, there are people who want to impede you and stop your blessing. There are things the devil will send your way. It could be human beings, it could be circumstances, it could be weird ideas. All of a sudden you start thinking very some way, they are wasting my time. What am I doing here? I am I can do that. Then it's coming. Like Peter. So Peter came, Jesus said, let me say, no, you can't wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, hey, you are not part of my kingdom. He said, oh, okay. Not only my feet, my hands, my hair, blah, blah, blah. Because in the midst of Jesus showing them the way of service in humility, Peter was becoming an impediment. Sometimes the passionate people, sometimes the spiritual people, sometimes the compassionate people, sometimes the people who have the zeal to do the work of the Lord, they are the people that are prone to the greatest mistakes in serving God. This same Peter was the one that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter. He was the same one who pulled a dagger and cut the ear of someone. He was the same one who denied Jesus 3 times. But at the end of the day, when he stabilized in his spiritual walk, Jesus, the flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. I'm praying that at the end of this teaching, the spirit of humility of the servant of God will come upon you. It was the job of servants to do that, but Jesus took upon himself. They knew him to be the King of Kings, but the King of Kings and the King of the Jews now takes up that position. I pray that nothing, there is no garment you will ever acquire on earth that will make you feel too big to serve the living God in the mighty name of Jesus. There is no promotion. There is no place of stardom or status that God will lift you to. Then now you are too big. May God not bring us to that point. In the mighty name of Jesus, the disciples could not imagine that their boss, their master, could be doing the job of a menial servant. And Jesus was not ashamed. He did it with joy. He did it and made sure that he washed their feet and cleaned their feet. How humble are you as a servant of God? Jesus stooped low. Stooped very low. There was an encounter here on the last night of grace and oil, and one of the pastors vocalized it to me the next day. So I called them to thank them for coming for the conference. And then one of them said, Pastor Prince, I want to tell you something. I learned a lot of things when I came to your church. Plenty things. I think I have to be coming for every conference. But there is this one thing I noticed that I want to say. And I said, I'm saying it in connection to this point. He said, I went to the washroom and even before I will approach the cabins, there was this lady on my left. The way she spoke to me, her smiles, her hospitality. I was asking myself, even at the washroom, look at the hospitality. She served me. She made sure when I came back. And I said, what? I will tell Pastor about this. He said, does she sell something? I said, no. That's a graduate standing there just to make sure that you are comfortable at the washroom. If you are not humble to stoop low, you can't serve. Jesus stooped low. He took the lowest place. Kadabahashaya. Stoop low. A servant of God must carry the spirit of humility, no matter who he thinks he is. Stooping low to serve is the Jesus' way. We see it here. He took the lowest place. It's the Jesus' way. May the Spirit of Christ captivate our hearts in the name of Jesus. Because of time, let's go to point two. A servant of God is trained on the job. Is trained on the job. Servants of God are trained on the job. I had never pastored a church before when I was sent to start a church. I had never shepherded a group of Christians before. Yes, I've been in student leadership and blah, 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 so many of them. But pastoring, I was just a passionate Christian, studying my Bible, studying books, going for conferences, fasting and praying, long fasting and prayer, just loving God. But I've never pastored a church before. Servants of God are trained on the job. So every servant of God you see is in training. Even to the last point, he can still miss the marks of the footsteps of Christ. Like Moses. How can Moses miss God? Have you thought of it? If anybody should miss God, it shouldn't be Moses. Somebody that you have a rod, you do like this, Red Sea, but 10 plagues, you frogs, water turned to blood. Moses should not be the one to make a mistake when God said, speak to the rock and you strike. He made a mistake. Even at that point, Moses needed the teaching of patience. And because of that, he missed out on the promised land. So servants of God are trained on the job. There can be an upcoming prophet. In his beginnings, he'll be making a lot of mistakes. Most of the great pastors or great Christians, I don't want to narrow this to just ministry in terms of typical ministry, but great Christians, great Christian businessmen and businesswomen, we see now, we came to meet their prime or their harvest season. We have no idea how they were faring when they were 20 years, when they were 30 years. We have no idea. Servants of God are trained in the job. You will never know what pastoring a church is until you pastor. You will never know what running a business is until you start running the business. You will never know. So on the job, God trains his people. So there are people, pastor were allowed to come and lead prayer. They may not start well. But it doesn't mean that they are not called to do it. It's just a matter of time they'll perfect the skill. There are people giving announcements now in church. When they began, they were not confident. They would say nothing, fast, 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 and leave the pulpit. But with time, they gained the authority on the pulpit. God does not use finished vessels. God is always calling people who don't know what they have to do. Even as matured Christians, God knows that no matter how matured a Christian is, he can never 100% follow his will. He can never 100% know his will. God knows that no matter how matured a Christian is, he can be a criminal. He can be a thief. He can be a womanizer. He can be a drunkard. No matter how matured he can. Oh yes, God knows. Even if you are matured, you can even miss the prayer topic you must pray. And you see, I'm not the one saying it. He said, sometimes we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit maketh intercession. The one that knows the 100% will of God is the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is going to make intercession for us every time, it means that we don't know what prayer topics to pray for at a particular time. Now, let me come back to my notes. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. But have nothing to do with unclean and foolish stories. Give yourself training in religion. We have to train ourselves in Christianity. We have to train ourselves to pay our tithe. Train ourselves to attend church services. Train ourselves to love people. Train ourselves to pray. You must train yourself to pray. You will not start praying automatically. You will not start waking up to pray. You have to train yourself to pray. Even as pastors, sometimes we train ourselves to preach. I'll be walking in my room preaching to myself. When I miss it, I'll go and take the notes. Now I'll look at it. I'll look at new scripture. I'll pray about it. I say, no, this scripture will not work today. We'll use another time. Then I'll check the time. I've preached for 1 hour, 20 minutes in my room. I have to preach for 1 hour. Which one should I take out? You have to train yourself to fast. You have to train yourself to forgive. Because people will offend you. People, as a servant of God, people will offend you. You have to say, give yourself training in religion. Train yourself. Keep going. Verse 8. For the training of the body is of profit for little, but religion is of profit in every way, giving hope for the life which is now and for that which is to come. When you train yourself spiritually, you impact every area of your life. Train yourself to do your morning devotion. Train yourself to commit to spiritual disciplines as a servant of God. Verse 9. This is a true saying in which all may put their faith. Amen. Now, usually when you want something done, if you want to paint your house, will you go for a novice to paint your house? No. We always want someone, somebody will recommend. Oh, pastor, I know him. He painted, he has been painting for me. I know him to be a professional painter. If your car gets spot and you go and give to a novice mechanic, you sent your car with one leg. You go and take it without two legs and two hands. No company employs people with no experience. Every time you go for interview, you see that they ask you, what is your experience? That is the way of man. That is the way of man. But the way of God is different. He trains us on the job. He picks people with nothing. But this person that has been picked must know that he is in training. No matter, maybe 12 years of ministry, this. I am in training. I must know I'm in training. Every servant, you must know you are in training. You can never arrive as a servant of God. You are in training. So you don't know too much. You don't know too much. You just don't know too much. You are not reading. That's why you think that you know. When you start reading, you know that you don't know. So every servant of God must understand. We as Christians who are servants of God must understand that we can never know all. Even the prophetic, we know in part and we prophesy in part. So don't be worried when God puts you in a place, in the position where you don't know anything. Like Prophet Samuel, he was ministering to the Lord, but he did not know the voice of God. But a servant of God must know the voice of God. So at a certain point, God began to call Samuel. And he still didn't know. It took Eli. So I will make a statement. It took Eli to help Samuel to know the voice of God. Though he was ministering, he was serving, he was doing what he must do in the temple, he did not know the voice of God. There are things you will never know. Even as you are serving, it will take a consistent service for you to discover revelations about God, in God, with God. Are you here? Are you here? So never discount yourself, because God knows you. God knows the end from the beginning. So wherever he chose you to do what he wants to do, he has already programmed the end from the beginning. But you that you have been chosen, you must be aware that you are learning. The learning progress, the learning process does not stop. Moses, even at that stage, Moses, I'm talking about the man who goes to Mount Sinai and comes back with the Ten Commandments. He is in the flames of fire with God. And yet, he needed the tuition of patience. We are in training. Never think you have arrived. Intercessor, barrister, whatever, CEO, whatever, usher, you don't arrive. Pastor, I don't arrive. I don't. When I'm studying, I feel as if I should have known the Bible all front and back by now. Sometimes you want to memorize 10 verses at a go. You get to the third one, then Charlie, you give up. You're in training. I pray that this teaching will help you. Through scripture, through leadership of the Holy Spirit, through spiritual leadership and the ministry of the church, God gives us on-job training as his servants. Jesus completed, he has completed the work. The work of God has been completed. The work of salvation has been completed by Jesus. Because if Jesus did not complete the work of salvation, our shouting in preaching will mean nothing. It will be noise. But because he has completed, he invited us to become participants, partakers. Come and let's work for the Lord. Come and join me. Become what a savior. One day when I meet him in heaven, I'll ask him a lot of questions. How did he manage to make us joint heirs and made us co-workers? You are a co-worker with Christ. Co-worker is not worker and supervisor. Co-worker. What a blessing. Our slavery to Christ is a blessing. It's not a curse. He's not looking down on us. He's not saying we should walk behind him. He said we are co-workers. We are joint heirs. Oh, we are brothers. At the point, he called us his brothers. What a blessing. When God called Saul, he looked down on himself. When God called Moses, he looked down on himself. He said, I'm a stammerer. I don't know how to talk. When God is calling you with a deficiency, he will provide you with what will make you complete. I don't know, but I pray that this mind will be in you. I remember many times I'll tell people, go and serve here. Go and do this. And they look at them and say, hey, what did Pastor see? I don't know. Just go. How am I going to just start doing it? When you make it, just as you do it, you'll be correcting yourself. Because it is on the job that God begins to train you and make you a better servant. Unless you are trained, you can never be sharp. But you can never finish training. Now, study. Let's say Floyd. Is it Floyd Mayweather? We know him to be a champion for years. I want to ask you, after he became the first, when he became a champion for the first time, did he stop training? He kept training. He kept training till he retired. Cristiano Ronaldo won many things. Messi has won many, many. He's going to win about the 8th Ballon d'Or, maybe possible. But they are still training. We don't, as a servant, when they put you in a department or you find yourself doing anything in a church, don't get to a point where we cannot instruct you. Or you are doing something somewhere in a corporate world. Don't get to a point in your profession that you cannot, because you don't know everything. You don't know everything. Let me move on. Number three, a servant of God perseveres. A servant of God perseveres. Luke chapter 12, verse 37 to 30, 35 to 37. Luke 12, 35 to 30. Be ready, dressed as for a journey with your light burning. And be like men who are looking for their Lord when he comes back from the bride feast, so that when he comes to the door, it will be opened to him quickly. Happy are those servants who are watching when the Lord comes. Listen to me, Maranatha. He's coming. He's coming. He said, truly I say to you, he will make himself their servant, and placing them at the table, he will come out and give them food. 38. And if he comes in the second division of the night or in the third, and they are watching for him, happy are those servants. I pray that on that day you'll be a happy servant. You will not be shocked. You will say, hey, what a shock. Jesus has come. Be happy. So a servant of God must persevere. The work of God is long, tedious, and tiring. The work of God is long, tedious, and tiring. You will receive less congratulations. You will receive less gratitude. You receive less thank you. You receive less appreciation in the flesh. You receive less recognition. When you are a servant of God, you receive less. They mocked at Jesus. They mocked at Jesus, King of the Jews, and they did the crown of thorns and put on him, making mockery of him. Servants of God are mocked in the flesh. They are mocked. You hear journalists insulting pastors. They don't care. They will take this pastor, cut them into two. They will take this pastor, destroy them. When you serve God, you are on in the flesh, you hardly get many congratulations and appreciations. You will not be happy most at times as you work for God. If nobody told you, I'm telling you. If you want to be a servant of God in any area of your life, you will not be happy most at times. Check the life of Jesus. He's always on the move. He's always here. He's always dispensing himself. Even on the cross, he had to cry out, Eli, Eli, Eli. I don't know if you want to be, you see, those kind of people are fighting over titles. Today somebody sings a little, then they want to put minister something there. Somebody prophesies a little. I see 1, 2, 3, that people for prophet. Somebody start church. Word of faith. Miracles are taking place. Apostle. If we want to put titles on ourselves, everybody will have a title. Ask for title. Edwin, you can wake up and say, you are Ark Visionaire Edwin Adu. Nobody fights you with it. You see, the weightier matter of serving God is that you must persevere. It's long, it's tedious, and that some people, it's fine. They don't have a problem with that. But it seems that this generation, our focus is like, if the title is not there, you don't feel that you are called. And if they must put the title. But titles don't buy anything. D.L. Osborne. Benehin. Benehin. I don't know which title you can put there for him. Benehin. Hallelujah. Since we knew Benehin up to now, when he stands on the pulpit, hallelujah, he will sing, and then all of a sudden something will enter the atmosphere. The same ministration I knew Benehin when I was 10 years, the way he ministered, the manifestation, the same thing. He's still Benehin. We must persevere. They are example to us. Just imagine, when I was 10 years, I was watching Benehin, and he's still ministering. Perseverance. He has gone through many accusations, many turbulent years. He's still standing. Servants of God must persevere. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You will suffer as a servant of God. You will suffer. He said, be ready to do without the comforts of life as one of the army of Christ Jesus. I am a soldier. That song that has come. Standing, I'm a soldier. Standing. You see, the thing is beyond emotions. It is beyond those feelings. It's beyond it. After singing all that song and jumping, get ready to do without the comforts of life. That's why many people can leave church and leave, because it's like they are looking for the comforts of Christ. And this is Paul speaking to a young pastor, Timothy, a young servant of God. Be ready. Hey! There, no, I put my resignation and I am gone. Boy, you started the church and you went to put me there. You write me a letter. Tell me something nice that, oh, when the offerings are increasing, I'll make sure that you too, you enjoy the comforts of life. Then you write and say, be ready to do the work of God without the comforts of life. You will feel rejected and forsaken. Your reward will be in heaven. There is no other reward that can be compared to the rewards in heaven. Time is not on my side to do the fourth one, so I will end with the third, with a few scriptures. It will take the spirit of perseverance to continue to serve the Lord as a servant of God, even to commit to church. Yeah. The way the Church of Christ has become, I am afraid for the next generation. It is so... Okay, I won't step there. I'll preach on that. Let me end. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 16. Yes. So this is the encounter. After the encounter, say, the servant of God must persevere. Say, the servant of God must persevere. After the encounter, after Paul saw becoming Paul, I told you there was no change of name. He always was called Saul Paul. One was for the Jewish and one for the Greeks where he lived. So Paul was the name associated with the Greek, and then the Saul is his Jewish. Maybe Kofi and Kofi. How they resolve all this? There was no prayer topic. Don't go and lift the prayer topic. Lord, change my name from Saul to Paul. God never changed his name. He was called Saul Paul. Okay, so now Paul had an encounter at Damascus with Christ, a strong light and a voice. Now this type of man. This is how Paul became a Christian. Please follow. I'll end with this scenario. Don't worry. This is how Paul became a Christian. How did you become a Christian? Simple. Utter call. You raised your hands. You cried tears and went back. Paul, a light. He went blind for a moment. He heard a voice without seeing a human being. This was his conversion. So special and unique. I'm here to see another person having such a conversion. Now, I want us to look at what God, Jesus said he was going to do to Saul. Did God use Paul greatly? Yes. He wrote his writings, he's associated to about 16 to 17 books of the New Testament. That means that in terms of the writers in the Bible, he wrote the highest number of the scripture. Now, listen to what Jesus said. Let's read the scripture. I promise you I'll end with that. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street which is named Straight, and make search at the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus, for he is at prayer. But now he's blind, but after conversion, one of the first signs of true conversion is the spirit of prayer. Okay, I'm not teaching that. And has seen a man named Ananias. One way to have visions is to stay in prayer. I'm not teaching about that. Has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him. So Paul was praying and saw in a vision that Ananias was coming and laid his hand on him so that he may be able to see, because he was blind. 13. But Ananias said, Lord, I have heard account of this man from a number of people, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to make prisoners all who give worship to your name. But the Lord said, go without fear, for he is a special vessel. I'm a special vessel. I'm a unique. I am different. I don't move with the crowd. Wait a little, we'll see something. I don't conform to the status quo. Now watch. Let me start again. But the Lord said, go without fear, for he is a special vessel for me to give the Gentiles and the kings and to the children of Israel the knowledge of my name. The verse 16 is my entrance. For I will make clear to him. Oh, Jesus. I will make it clear to him what troubles he will have to undergo for me. Give me the message version. Quick. And now I am about to show him what he is into or in for. The hard sufferings that goes with this job. I'm sure there, you know, some of you say, God, you take your job. I just came to serve God. He said, I will show him what he's in for. God, call me. God, call, anoint me. Let me go global anointing, global intercontinental influence. I cannot be local. I cannot. God said, I will show you. I will show you the hard suffering that goes with this job. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Put your hands on your heart and pray for yourself. 20 seconds. Just pray for yourself. Maybe you may not know what to say, but just speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues. I will show you the hard suffering that goes with the job. Pray for perseverance. Pray for a humble heart. Pray that you'll be ready to be trained. The scriptures will train you. The Holy Spirit will train you. Spiritual leadership will train you. The church will train you. Mareke se vabaya kata. Maron safamia katola layas. Zada kapala nahayas. Kimaladia kombalata. Brando kosa brandaka. Malande karadose. Pelegede kesata. Prakose kambarota. Makavarakata. Mekese frate. Kelenene shengranda. Rako barakata. Yekalalalabasha. Mambo koto. Brakataya. Makatos. Kerenema. Reketo. Makota. Payakata. Mazata. Kelendos. Brake. Mrangos. Kibranda. Zegrandes. Raka baba baba, rosa dala baba baba, ratole kedera, retole kratanana, rapene kadaba, zagene kabarotaka, reketene mahasa, indeneme kuzame anda, poronda skimala, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.